Good afternoon and welcome to our meeting. It is 1:30 on November 21, 2023, and time to read and convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. Here today, we have Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager, Colin Wellingbrock, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have none.
I have none.
Comments from the public is item 2 on the agenda. And that is from the board or your comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent center for the floor. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Would you join me for the flag salute, please? Let's stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are there any comments from the public on items not on the agenda?
We do have someone from the Snow Isle Sierra Club.
Oh, okay.
So,
on the phone?
Correct.
Okay. Snow Isle Group of the Sierra Club, we'd like to hear from you.
Hi, my name's Nancy Johnson. And I'm co-chair of the Snohomish and Island County Sierra Club. I'm calling to talk about the breaching of the Lower Snake River dams. Snohomish County is home to several tribes. They, along with all other members of the affiliated tribes of Northwest Indians, call for breaching the Lower Snake River dams as a centerpiece of a Columbia Basin comprehensive recovery plan. Recently, here in Snohomish County, we had on November 1st and 2nd, the Nez Perce tribe sponsoring Rise Up Northwest in Unity, a two-day powerful and emotional convening at the Tulalip Convention Center with tribes, nonprofits, and the general public, with the focus on salmon and orca recovery. On day one, tribes presented the importance of salmon to their cultures, diet, and lifeways. Day two was expert presentations about services that need to be replaced prior to dam breaching, including transportation for ag products, irrigation, and electricity. Attendees learned that all these services can be successfully replaced while keeping stakeholders whole. Did anyone from the PUD attend this event? You would have learned a lot. Snohomish County has direct interest in salmon recovery. Loss of salmon has seriously depressed commercial fishing and is starving our orcas. Bonneville Power Administration has never even tried to recover Endangered Species Act listed salmon stocks. At most, they promise to avoid extinction, which is only one of the purposes of the Endangered Species Act, the other being recovery to the point of no longer needing Endangered Species Act protection. I have two asks that will support salmon and orca recovery and tribal treaties. Push the BPA, our main power provider, to take more active steps to support salmon and other affected fish by actively planning for Lower Snake River dam breaching. Please cancel PUD membership in Northwest River Partners, an interest group promoting keeping the lower Snake River dams. A reminder that the Whatcom Public Utility District terminated their membership in Northwest River Partners earlier in 2023. Thank you. I appreciate very much this opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Are there any further comments from the public?
There are none.
Okay. So we'll move on to the consent agenda, which includes approving the minutes for the regular meeting of November 7th, bid awards, professional services contracts and amendments, and consideration of certification and ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. Call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Mr. Olson, do you have any?
I have none.
Questions or comments?
I have a question on the transmission steel poles and caissons for the Command Island project. I was curious how much of a variance there was between the low bid and the award bid, and a difference in cost, and what our procedures are as a variance.
So the question is related to the fact that the only responsive bidder was Western or Wireless Structures, Western Utility.
Yes.
So the procedure is that we check all bidders for, well, start with the low bidder and check for responsibility and responsiveness to the bid. And then as we find bidders to be not responsive or responsible, then up the chain. So you can see I can't do the math in my head, but it's over, you know, it's close to $150,000 between the low bid and the bid we actually awarded to. And those requirements are statutory, and they're not requirements that we can waive or alter in any way. So it's either that or reject all bids and try to go out again, which just takes that much extra time. And then all the bidders' prices are exposed to the public and each other at that time. So.
Yeah. So it says technical specifications. So those are like specifications of the materials, or
correct?
Okay,
correct. In this case, it was the thickness of the steel used to construct the poles.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one. I'd like you to educate me about the interlocal agreement with Port of Everett. $1 million there. What is it for? What will we be doing?
Sure. This program has been in place for a little while now, since July of 21, and job order contracting is a way for us to more efficiently do small construction projects that would normally have to be bid out each individually. This allows us to make an award to a couple of contractors to do that based on pricing book and some prices that are already bid, so that we can more and efficiently accomplish those projects. The $1 million is just simply an estimate from now until April of next year, when that contract expires. Just an estimate to cover all of the projects we anticipate having to use that program for. Those are projects that would have been done either way, either through the small works roster or through this process. So this just allows us to have a more efficient tool.
So what if the actual cost is less than $1 million, or what if it goes over $1 million? What do we do? Do we have to amend?
If we did find that we needed more capacity before the end of the contract, then we have to come back and amend.
And if it's less than $1 million until April?
We won't be paying. We'll only be paying the amount necessary for the work.
Okay. Maybe it's in here somewhere. What would be a typical project that we would be doing?
A project that you can see every time you walk in this building would be roll up fire doors over in the area of this building. Just a small project. It's really difficult to specify it and put together a bid package for it. It takes a lot more time to do the design and the bid for that than it really is worth for the small dollars. So with this, there's already a price book that says how much each of the elements of that job would cost. And we can just go through with the contractor and pick those out of the pre-bid pricing, and then get the job done quickly.
So that's under the purview of the port.
The port
Yes, I don't understand.
Okay, sure, sure. The port did a job order contracting RFP several years ago. They have more capacity, more dollars in that contract than they will use. Because we wanted to experiment and do a pilot project on whether that process would work for us, we were able to piggyback their contract and have a process in place for us to experiment and see if that works for us, which is what we've been doing since July.
All right, thank you. Do we have any other questions?
I have none.
Okay. So there being no further questions or comments, I'll call for a vote. Please vote aye if you approve, and nay if you don't.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Just a minute. Is that a motion? Yeah. The motion is approved unanimously. Now we will have a public hearing continuing the 2024 proposed budget hearing. I'll now reconvene a public hearing on the 2024 proposed budget. Sarah Bond is here to facilitate the presentation and discussion.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm here to present the third of four public hearings for the 2024 proposed budget. Today is our final presentation for discussion, and then we'll be requesting approval at the next meeting on December 5th. Today we're going to talk about some changes that we're proposing for the 2024 budget, as well as going over our five-year budget forecast and assumptions, and then a look at what our reserve forecast is. We'll be doing this for both electric and water today. So we're going to start first with the changes to the 2024 budget. So as you know, we prepare the budget early in the year, and sometimes things kind of happen after we file the proposed budget. And so we generally come at this meeting to discuss any changes with you. And there really were two ones that were worth noting. First one affects purchase power. So our Hay Canyon, one of our Hay Canyon contracts is going to be expiring in March 2024. We're not able to renew that contract. So that is going to change our purchase power in 2024. It's going to reduce our Hay Canyon costs. It will increase our market purchases a little bit because we'll have to compensate for a little bit of that power. So that's going to result in a reduction of our purchase power cost in 2024. There's also some very minor generation system adjustments that are in that number, but our purchase power number is expected to go down in 2024 for that. The other major adjustment is Connect Up project. So we've received some recent estimates that's going to push some of the meter costs out of 2024 into subsequent years. So you'll see it affects a couple areas of our budget. The first one is it's going to reduce our capital expenditures in 2024. It's also going to reduce the use of our bond proceeds. We did plan to use a significant amount of our bonds in 2024 for that project. Now we're going to be shifting to some other projects. We won't be using quite as much in 2024 in general. We'll be shifting some of that to 2025. And then the last thing is that also increases our operating and maintenance. There's a relationship between operation and maintenance and capital. So when capital goes down, O&M often goes up because just the way the costs flow through the system. So those are the two major changes. So it's not as much of a reduction to net income at all. It's very similar. It does increase our cash a little bit by about 11 days.
Okay, on page five, I was wondering, what is the required minimum in the operating revenues?
Days cash on hand minimum is 120 days.
Oh, that's right. So it's not an amount, it's days. Okay.
Yes.
And the other question, and I think I should know this, but does PUD pay real estate taxes on the properties that we own?
I'm gonna take my stab at this. I believe we pay something in lieu of property taxes.
Oh.
And I, off the top of my head,
right.
I can't remember off the top of my head what the name of that tax is, but we do pay something in lieu of property tax.
So the reason, because I saw $42,500,000, I thought, well, what kind of taxes do we pay? Just all kinds?
There's several. The majority, the number one is the excise tax that we pay, which is just a percentage of our revenues. And we also pay a privilege tax, which goes to the county. And then there's the smaller pieces, like the one that you just mentioned. The biggest one is the excise tax that goes to the state.
Okay. think those are all of my questions. Do you have questions about any parts of the budget?
Oh, yeah, we have gotten into it.
Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
So next I'm going to shift into talking about the five-year forecast. So we've spent a lot of time talking about what was going into the 24 budget. So we also have been working simultaneously on our long-term plan. So I'll show you the numbers in a minute, but first I want to talk through some of the assumptions. So you recently, I believe it was last meeting, received a load forecast update from BCN. So this is reflective of those updated load numbers for the next 5 years. We continue to assume funding for the income qualified discount program. And as we've discussed, we've spent a lot of time talking about some of the financial issues that we've had that have increased our revenue requirements, including supply chain, market volatility issues, labor market. We are projecting some rate increases that begin in 2024 through 2027.
Oh, it stays at 2024.
And of course, there'll be public hearings on this topic to come.
Is this pretty consistent with what we have been projecting? I think it is.
Sorry about that.
The 2024 one is still projected through 2028.
Yes, that's no, sorry. I probably should have put those in the order of which we did the years. I apologize for that. So okay. The 3.8 is proposed in 2024, the 3.5 in 2025, and then it's 2% in 26 and 27.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. And then energy wholesale sales, I'll talk a little bit about more of this when we look at the numbers, but we're still expecting the next 2 years to kind of reflect the current market that we're in with some higher prices, but we are expecting that to hopefully go back to normal, more normal historical in 26 through 28, and back to our normal levels, and we'll look at those numbers in just a minute. On the purchase power side, obviously one of our largest pieces of this is BPA. We already talked a little bit about BPA in 2024. We are expecting a little bit of an increase in the 2024, 25 year. And then there's some small rate increases projected for the out years, but really nothing too significant for BPA in this forecast period.
All right. So customer will see BPA as 3% plus what the utility is anticipating. To raise rates. All right. Audeville is projected at 3.3, 24-25. And so is the projection of 2 to 3.8% on top of that?
Yes. Yeah, the 3.8 forecasted for 24 is in addition to the BPA pass-through.
Okay, and so that's why we're on percent. Just I don't want to take this off track, but is the 2.8% would change how the rates are structured? So is let's say the 3.8, is that passed along to the customer, or is there some further calculation that it goes through so that the percent that's passed on to the customer is lower?
No, the 3.8 is what gets passed. We'll go to the
go
customer
directly. Okay, all right.
And that's the overall average.
Yes.
Even the different customer segments
right.
have a different percentage.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's the overall average. Yeah, and that's not amortized into other rates. I think maybe if you're referring to like how Everett's water rate gets embedded into ours. And then that's a lower rate when it's spread across the entire cost structure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the case for the 3.8 increase.
But to clarify, this 3.3 isn't the pass-through rate. It's the rate that Motto is going to charge us.
Correct.
So the pass-through would be much, much smaller.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. That's my bad. It's not the pass-through.
Thank you for
yeah.
I was on the wrong end of it. Okay.
Scared me for a minute there. I'll see
the no, yeah. No, no. I was. I
fill the room.
I
apologize if it's like.
It's the Bonneville rate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Also in our purchase power is our generation system, relatively flat throughout the forecast. There are some larger projects that are penciled in for the forecast years. Market purchases Similar to how we're treating market sales, we are expecting them to be higher for the next few years. So for 2024 and 2025, we're budgeting some higher than normal increases for both volume and prices. But again, we're hoping in 2027 and 28 that those numbers are going to go back to our historical averages. And I've already talked a little bit about Hay Cannon. Part of our operations and maintenance is our transmission and ancillary. Luckily, those are expected to remain relatively flat, so no exciting story to tell there. Operation maintenance reflects the increased cost pressures due to our supply chain and inflation issues, so there is some inflation built into that forecast. And we also are ensuring that we have adequate funding in our energy efficiency programs to make sure that we meet our targets and our IRP. That's embedded in our operations and maintenance. On the capital side, we're continuing our funding for our major asset expansion and upgrade projects. We've talked a little bit about Connect Up. It's expected to continue through 2026, and we do still expect to use bond proceeds to pay for the majority of that project.
And I do have a question on that. So the bond proceeds that we're using for capital will now be reassigned to other projects.
For 24, correct.
Okay, and so are these bond issues reflective of that, or are they higher?
I'm sorry?
Are the two bond issues for 25 and 27, are those higher because of the shift of?
These were actually the placeholders that we had even before.
All right, okay. Well, I was just thinking you were going to shift.
These are necessary even without the shift to Connect Up. It's just going to be more of the timing of when we use the ones that we currently have outstanding.
Oh, I saw that they were the same, and I thought, well, they're the same anyway. Thank you. I don't know, let's clarify.
And so, we do have some placeholders in 25 and 27 to help fund capital profit expenditures. And of course, we revisit these assumptions every year see what we actually need to issue at the time. So let's take a look at the numbers. There are quite a bit here, so I'm going to walk through a couple of them. The top line energy retail sales, you can see some growth between 24 and 28, and that's a combination of both a growth in expected loads and the rate increases that we've talked about. Energy wholesale sales, I mentioned a little bit, we're expecting higher revenues in the next 3 years, but we are expecting them to go back to our historical averages, which have been somewhere in the 34, 40 million year range, so we're expecting prices to drop a little.
Why?
That's one I would probably.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. It's a great question. I would actually probably defer to Garrison or Jason on that one. They probably.
Yeah, I don't want to take up time on something that's not directly related.
It's a good question.
But
it's a good question.
Historical, but we haven't been in a historical status for a long time.
There's a couple things going on. So when we do our market price forecasting, we typically land a fundamental price forecast with the forward market price forecast. Forward market only transacts out for about 24 months. So beyond that period, you're at a fundamental price forecast. So just for the folks in the room, forward prices, those are what's being transacted in the market, those are recorded transactions so far. Fundamental market price forecast looks at planned new developments, forecast load for the region, and it's a production cost model that looks at what the resulting costs would be. There is a lot of new development that's forecast for the region, a lot of it renewable, a lot of it building in advance of need with some intermittent generation that at least these forecasts are showing could have a downward impact on price. So obviously we refresh these things as we get closer to those
that,
periods,
but
that's the movement that
this.
We're seeing.
Okay, thank you.
So why are up there? Is that follow through why purchase power is dropping in nominal value too?
It is. We've got the wind contract expiring as well. So we have some of that expiring in 2024. Another portion of Hay Cannon expires in 2027. So there's other elements of that.
2027, that I would, But not less volume, right? Because we talked about in the IRP this morning about reducing our exposure to the market. Does that happen within this 5-year period, and is that any of it?
So that will be, you know, once we get closer to procurement processes that identify what those prices look like,
okay,
would be baked in.
Not part of the budget.
We displace wholesale market purchases with resource-specific line items.
I have no further questions.
This is why I like to keep him handy. But you did actually speak to the lower purchase power. I was going to actually bring that up, and that is primarily because of the purchases going down. The other thing I want to point out on this slide is you'll see capital expenditures. It's relatively flat. We see some bumps here and there for some major projects. And that's going to affect our O&M a little bit. O&M is really just kind of a forecast going forward, but because some years are higher capital, it's going to drive down O&M a little bit. And then days cash on hand on the bottom, you can see at the moment we're expected to have 2024 end up a little bit higher than minimums, but we are still pretty tight in those bill years in the forecast. Last piece to go over, we are want to give you a little bit of an insight on what our reserves are expected to look like at the end of 2024. We talked a little bit about our operating reserve. That's the 132 days I just showed you. We also have our debt management fund of $80 million. We are not planning to use those dollars in 2024. The sinking reserves and bond debt service reserves are just requirements that we have based on our debt issues. Project reserves are made up of our construction funds, our bond funds, and so we expect to have $24 million left at the end of 2024. We're using those up for 25. And the contingency reserve, the $125 million, is our rate stabilization reserve. I'm going to move on to water, unless there are any further questions on electric.
Under generation, there's no figure for Qualco for a proposed budget. Is there a reason why we don't have a proposed budget? I know it's a small part of our budget.
Are you looking at a particular slide?
Excuse me, it's under total other.
She's looking at the detailed proposed budget.
Yeah.
I believe Qualco has been, any costs related to that have been rolled into another title that's in the book.
Other renewable?
Yeah, it's in the other renewable, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm trying to see if I have other questions. My device decided it needed to install a new operating system. I'm trying on my phone to log into Board of Advantage, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I can come back to any slide if you have any further questions.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, we'll talk about a little bit about water. So again, water budget was presented kind of early on in the year, and we've been revisiting some of their numbers, and you'll see that there's a delta in their water retail rates, and so they're looking at increasing their general rate increase, and there will be some public hearings that will begin in December, so you guys can hear more about that from the water system.
And that rate increase will be effective, is it the same for the water system as the
March 1st, thank you.
So we had a placeholder last meeting, 3%.
3% was their placeholder, correct.
So that's sort of a big,
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about?
Sure, I'm actually plug in a bit of muscle.
Hi, Christina Arndt, manager of the water utility. So the original 3%, did not include the 2.4% of the City of Everett pass-through that's also being included in that 5.4. So it's actually a general rate increase of 3% and then a pass-through of 2.4 for City of Everett.
And then we have, maybe we're going to get to it, any idea what the 5-year picture is for water?
Yeah, we are going to speak
okay.
to that, yes.
I'll take the hit for that. I think we had talked about we were going to separate those out and show those independent, so it didn't just appear the way it did. So I'll take the hit for that. We'll make sure that we are separating out the Everett portion of that overall rate increase and what our portion is going forward.
But they're still going to figure out what's tied to the City of Everett water, right? still in there.
Yeah, we'll separate those out so there's visibility.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The bill will show.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and there's also a little bit of an increase in O&M. This is just some adjustments that we've made prior after the proposed budget. This next slide might address some of the conversation that we've just had. So water retail sales, before we get to the rates, there is some growth built in similar to the electric side. We've got some growth in the next years, and it's average about 1.3, 1.5 a year. And then the general rate increases are between 3 and 4.1% annually. And then we're also including the City of Everett commodity pass-through increase of 1.3 to 2.4. And next bullet kind of speaks a little bit to that. So City of Everett included an 8.1% rate increase in 2024 that we're passing on. And then we're also projecting 4.1% annually from now in 2025 and 2028.
So what are we looking at for the following year? What's our estimate for 25
for them?
Yeah, well, for us totally.
5.4, it ends up being 5.4 annually.
Okay, the combination
of the two is 5.4% annually. Okay. So we're also going to do everything we can to maximize our use of Lake Stevens treatment plant to minimize our cost from the City of Everett. So that cost is also built in as well. On the O&M, we talked a little bit in the budget presentations about they're also experiencing some extreme supply chain issues and inflation driving costs. And then if electric costs go up, some of that gets shared with water, since we pay for some services from electric. So they've been seeing some pressure on the O&M side. We'll see the numbers in a minute. You'll see there's quite a bit of capital coming up on the water system in the next few years. Continuing, obviously, our ongoing program of main replacements, continuation of the improvement of Warm Beach, and then there's a lot of larger projects in the forecast, and there's a variety of them, including our SCADA upgrades. They're also going through the Connect Up project, some right of ways. So there's some large capital projects in the water system coming up. And to help fund that, there's a placeholder in 2026 for some additional bond funds. So just a quick look at their five-year forecast. I wanted to point out a few things. First, you'll notice water retail sales. Again, we'll see some slight growth as a result of their low growth plus their rate increases. Purchase water, you can see some pretty significant increases over the next 5 years due to what we're seeing from the City of Everett. Operation and maintenance does have quite a bit of inflation built in. You will notice a little bit of up and down. And again, that has a lot to do with the capital that is being spent in that given year. So in 2025, for example, it's a really big capital year. So that's going to lower their O&M expense because they're able to capitalize more of those costs. So O&M is a little bit trickier in water because of the capital. But I did want to point out the bottom line, their capital. You can see there's a pretty robust capital program in their future, which is one of the reasons why we're looking at bonds. And a quick look at the reserves for water. They have similar reserves to electric. Their operating reserves are expected to end about $3.7 million, which is about their minimum at the end of 2024. The sinking and bond debt service reserves, similar, they're just used for very specific purposes. The project reserves for water are a combination of their general facilities charges funds and construction funds. And so it's about half and half for those two. There's a few other little ones in there. So that's what that project reserve is. And they similarly to electric have a contingency reserve, and theirs is about $1.5 million, and that's expected to stay intact in 2024.
So do they have today's cash on hand?
So currently water is established at 90 days, where electric is at 120 days. But I believe that's being looked at.
So do you know, like going back to the previous page, what those days, what we're projecting those days are?
You know, I did not bring that information with me. The 2024 final budget is their minimum of 90 days.
Okay.
But I know the model projects it to be at least a minimum, but I don't have those actual numbers.
That's
we can
awesome.
Definitely
Thank
do that for
you. Yeah, I don't need it.
Thank you. Hey, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Scott.
Sorry about that, if you can hear me. And apologies, I'm not there in person, but one very quick comment on the working capital for water. We are anticipating transitioning that between 90 up to 120 over the course of a 2 or 3 year budget period. So I think that forecast actually calls for a kind of a slow migration upward. And thanks, Allison, for the reminder. This is Scott Jones, the Snowbud CFO, coming at you from the sky. Our rating agency meetings this past year with our debt placement, they gave us some pretty good signals that they would like to see that working capital number creep up a little bit for water. They think it's just better footing. So we don't want to do it suddenly, but we're going to try to work our way in that direction.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Last piece to talk about. We have executive limitations. So the next meeting will be filing our annual financial planning budget monitoring report. We wanted to highlight that while the board can pick any, can approve any rates that they want, we are exceeding one of our ELs, executive limitations, for our rate increases. So we plan to acknowledge this in the resolution.
So I have a question about that, or just I want to have a conversation. I'll ask Commissioner Olson, since you were here, I believe, when this policy was first adopted. You know, looking back at it, I mean it's a good policy, but I realize there's no inflation in it. So here's a low inflation.
No, it's a major reaction to it.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of wondering. I mean, in years of no inflation, I think that's doable. In years of higher inflation, I would guess that's more challenging, and I'm wondering, Commissioners, next time we look at policies, I wonder if we should think about how to inflation-proof this a little bit. Just a thought, but
yeah, this was done a long time ago.
Yeah,
but it was more. There wasn't much thought process that went into it. I mean, we had a 30 to 40% rate increase the year before, so.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
So this was, yeah. And you know, I'm not happy that rates are gonna go up, but frankly when you consider the inflation that our customers are dealing with, these are relatively small increases.
Yeah. However, I would really like a lot of input from staff on whether it's needed.
Yeah.
I'm curious about why Everett has such a huge 8.1%. Because I guess that's not our question, it's not for us, but I am interested. I don't live here, but maybe people who are familiar with the Everett's water budget. Why 8.1%?
I guess what Brad has said in the past is that they have significant improvements to their system, is my understanding. But it concerns me too. It's why I've always hoping there is ways for us to develop more and more sources, because sort of pricing themselves out of the business.
Could we go back to the other comments that you were making on the rates as currently established in our governance policies? And I thought you were going to say something.
Yeah, well, a couple comments. One, if you look at our rate increases relative to our peers, both in the area and in the region, or across the West, we are significantly on the low side. But given the inflation, given the increased risk in our power supply, we are outside certainly the norm of what has been traditional rate increases. It may be worth looking at this policy, the governing section of this policy, to give a little more leeway and base it more on inflationary metrics of some sort. We can have that discussion. I think similar to Mr. Wolf's question on Everett's water, it's inflationary pressures, it's them having to do some infrastructure work, much of the same thing that we're going through. And it's, again, on the power supply, our biggest, or on the electric side, where we see the greatest risk is in the power supply. And And that's why we initially raised the day's cash on hand to 120, thought we had to build in a little more of a buffer. We're headed there, that same place, as Scott said, on the water side, in the vulnerability and the rates that we are continuing to see from a water supply standpoint as well.
I have another question. The footnote on the stage, you kind of just passed by.
I apologize for that. We plan to address the language in both the annual monitoring report and the resolution that will be coming to you.
Addressing it. Well, I guess I'll have to wait and see. I want us to get lost into something that we have had the opportunity to have thorough discussion on.
You mean the resolution? You mean the resolution for the budget?
The budget resolution, correct. Yeah.
Next.
Yes.
Because you need an exception because it's outside of the parameters.
Exactly.
Well, I hope it's very clearly defined.
Yeah, so there's two, and Colin can hold in on this. I mean, it's the shorter term process to address the policy deviation. And then to what I thought was your question, Commissioner Olson, is how, the longer term approach to what do we need to do with the policy language to kind of prevent from us having to go through some kind of deviation from the policy.
Well, today is 15 plus years ago. Does not reflect what we're in the today.
Right, exactly.
It was 2001. How many on this
was? Oh, the 2000, yeah. That was so.
You'll notice the second one talks about having reserves of 20 million. So that's also a very number that doesn't really have anything to do with our current reality.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, well, that's all I have for today.
I just wanted to, well, do you have any comments or questions, Mr. Olson, for the moment?
Well, it's an observation. I always get a little nervous about customers seeing rate increases. We have to be on the very low end. I mean, I'm reading about double digit. So I think that we need to keep in mind that our customers don't get a blind flip about people in Hawaii and what they pay. So I understand. I get it that it's necessary. I think it's important that we do really scrub the numbers. So that's just my observation. Because they're cumulative, you know?
Yeah, agree. We don't want to raise rates. And if we we want to make sure it is absolutely necessary and that we are stewarding our customers' money in the best way possible. And the team across the organization has really worked hard to try to minimize that rate impact, given all the inflationary and other dynamics that are in place.
Now, there's an easy path, and there's a tough path. And I'm sure that the organization went through that really tough path. And the world today is just changing every year. So I clearly understand that.
I think our CORPCOM department has done a good job helping us educate the public about the need for increases. We've kind of spelled that out in some of our recent publications. I think it is an education challenge to help people understand what we're facing. What really, since they own the PUD, what they are, what we are, as a composite, you know, public and the people who work at and for the PUD. We shouldn't be thinking as they are over here and we're over here, you know, as the enemy. We have to keep them apprised of the needs all along. And I think CORPCOM has done a good job of that to the extent that you can. There's a lot of detail, but our budget is on the website right now. The proposed budget is on the website. And so people can call or write with their questions. Do you have any more
questions? Well, yeah, you know, to the same end, it is a large increase. And You know, last year I objected to deciding the rate increase so early in the year. The first year I was on the commission, I was appointed in the second meeting in the March, in the first meeting in March, for the rate increase for April 1st was passed. And so I guess philosophically, I've always wanted to wait because winter can bring a lot of potential revenue for us or not. We don't really know. So I've always been wanting to wait until we're closer to know what their actuals have been. So I'm curious of what we're thinking about for this year, when we will, when the board will act on rate increase.
The expectation is for an April 1st rate increase. So you would be getting a public hearing, you'd be doing the public hearings probably in February. That's the current plan.
When did we do it last year? It seemed like it was.
Generally, April 1st is when we would.
It seemed like it was earlier.
Yeah.
I wanted to just express my gratitude for increasing the numbers because, you know, I've said to people we have 365,000 customers, but well, now it says 373,000. So these are updated numbers, and for that I'm grateful. And so thanks for those new numbers.
Commissioner Logan, this is Jason. Just to address your last question, I think we brought it in January last year, and we'd be planning for kind of that same time frame this year. That allows us as an organization to be ready to implement that, and also from a communication standpoint, know that, you know, this is what the rate increase is going to be, and begin to communicate out that. And we kind of, I mean, we arrive at those numbers through the budget process, and, you know, doing that 5-year forecast and knowing kind of what that rate needs to be to see the, you know, get the revenues to match our costs.
Yeah, and I understand it from the communications aspect. Earlier is better, right? I'm just concerned about it from, you know, revenue. If there's a, you know, if there's a small adjustment to that number that can be made because we have wait late February, for instance, from my agreement that it's going to dramatically change. It seems like it's changed in past years. We've had a budgeted, we had a budgeted increase, and then we actually ended up taking a lower increase.
We did that, I know, on the water side. We decided to wait until we had a better idea on the actuals,
yeah,
and the forecast year end. To see what that rate increase needed to be. I don't think we've done that on the electric side. And even if you're, you know, we have a extra cold, you know, fourth quarter and or into January, you're not going to move the needle long term that much to make up, you know, an adjustment of 0.5% or even a 0.5%, especially looking at it more, not just 24, but longer term.
Right.
And we can adjust those, you know, we will be back here next year at the same time with the next set of forecasts for the 25 and beyond rate increases in the budget.
Next. And the rate increases that we're projecting, you're front loading it, which is helpful.
Yes.
So depending upon how that works, it could be used to rates in the future.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing comment I was going to make is it absolutely, again, rate increases of any kind are hard and difficult, but that's only part of the story, right? I mean, our responsibility is reliable, environmentally sustainable, cost-effective power. And that reliability, given all the increase in storms, impacts on our system, wildfires, all those things are the issues that we're having to deal with from a cost management perspective, and still deliver reliable service and with great customer experience.
Which is way out of the realm of the norm.
And I think that's why you do see a difference between the rate increases that we are forecasting or proposing and forecasting versus our peers.
Oh, that, yes, yeah. Oh, no, I don't.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for all the hard work.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we look forward to the next step. Okay, thank you. Okay. I'll call for a motion to continue the public hearing on the 2024 budget.
Commissioner, will you just confirm there's no questions from the public on that public hearing?
Okay. Oh, at the very top, yeah. So I'll just repeat that. Are there any comments from the public regarding the proposed budget?
There are none.
Mr. Olson, do you have any further comments?
I have none.
Mr. Levin, do you have any further comments? Okay, and I have none either. So I will call for a motion to continue the public hearing on the 2024 budget.
I move the public hearing on the 2024 budget be continued to Tuesday, December 5, 2003 at 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street, Everett, Washington.
Commissioner Olson, just to confirm, that's on 2023, not 2003.
2023, 2024.
December 5th, 2023.
Oh, would you like me to read it again?
It would be like the news for the next meeting.
That's fine. I just wanted to confirm it for the record.
December.
Thank you.
5, 2023.
Perfect. Perfect. So I'll call for the vote. Please vote yay or nay.
Yay.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is passed. Approved. Unanimously. Okay, now we're going to consider a resolution declaring certain property interests of the district in a portion of certain real property situated in Snohomish County, Washington, to be surplus and authorizing the granting of an easement in favor of the USA, United States of America, Department of Energy, Onago Power Administration. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We'll now convene a public hearing. Corey Barnes is with us to answer any questions and provide the prior presentation if necessary. We want to see the prior.
I don't need to see it.
No, we were fairly brief. This is our opportunity to
I think you
make some it off.
Very well before, and I don't need to see it again either.
Thank you.
So are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution?
There are not.
Mr. Olson, do you have any questions?
I have none.
And neither do I. So I'll close the public hearing and call for the vote. Please vote yay or nay.
Yay.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is the resolution is approved unanimously. Okay, now items for individual consideration. Consideration of a resolution adopting a plan or system of additions to and extensions of the district's water utility, declaring the intention of the Board of Commissioners to form Water Local District Utility District Number 66 to carry out that plan, and fixing the date, time, and place for a public hearing on formation of the proposed local utility district and confirmation of the assessment role. I'll call for motion.
I move approval.
Christina Arndt is available to answer any questions regarding this resolution.
This is our non-contiguous. I can't say that word.
Okay, Christina Arndt, manager at Water Utility, and yes, this is one of our non-contiguous.
Okay.
This just has the two parcels on it for about 90.
Okay. Thank you.
Questions or comments?
Yeah, it's our annual tradition.
I know, but I had to have a question.
Thank you. So I'll call for a motion.
And there's no questions from the public. We should ask, is a public hearing.
Right. Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution?
There are not.
Oh, Commissioner Olson, any questions?
And none.
And I have none either, so I'll call for the vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution is adopted unanimously. Now we'll consider a resolution authorizing the manager of real estate services to execute all necessary documents to purchase certain real property tax parcel number 28083000201200.
Oh, good.
With an address of 12326 Trout Farm Road, Sultan, Washington, for future use for fish habitat improvement activities. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, Maureen Barnes is still here, still available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution?
There are none.
Okay. Mr. Olson, do you have any questions or comments?
No, Maureen briefed us on November 7th.
Yes, we have. Mr. Logan?
No, I'm just excited to review it.
I am.
Expanding our habitat.
So my comment is that I think this is a really good move, and it's going to benefit in many ways, fish and related. All right, so I'll call for a vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution is approved unanimously. Now we'll move on to the CEO General Manager's report. Reports, John.
Yeah, I have a couple items to share. First off, as you may know, next year is our 75th anniversary of providing electric service to our communities. Our corporate communications team is working diligently to come up with the ways that we are going to celebrate the 75th anniversary, as well as engage with our customers and make them aware in our communities. So it'll be fun to celebrate our 75 years of electric service. Also, on November 8th, Brenda White and I met with Snohomish County Executive Dave Summers. We talked about the climate workforce, green energy economy, sustainable aviation fuels, connect up, and resource adequacy. Talk about resource adequacy as often as I can to make our elected officials in the area aware of that being one of our key challenges. The executive leadership team held our fall retreat last week and had a team building exercise pertaining to leadership profiles. We covered themes and messaging for 2024, including the 75th anniversary celebrations. And we continued discussions around how to drive a positive and effective culture within the organization. Next week, Brenda White and I will visit the mayors of Mount Lake Terrace, City of Linwood, and the City of Briar to continue building relationships, discuss what's going on in their jurisdictions. And on December 5th and 6th, I'm heading to DC for the week, or for the APPA's executive committee meeting and meeting with the APPA staff. December 5th meeting, Scott Jones will cover that in my absence.
I wanted to let you know that I've arranged with Allison that I'll be joining you, for that meeting.
That's good.
I'm excited. It's in my district, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about APPA.
No, not APPA, no.
That's
the
great.
Briar Mallard Terrace.
Good. Excellent.
All right, do you have anything else to add?
You
thank you for that. Commission business. Okay. Commissioner Olson, do you have any reports?
I do not.
Commissioner Logan, do you have any reports?
I went to some meetings, but on Friday I went to the Maryville Salem Chamber. There was the status of the port. The port did update at the chamber this year, and they have really aggressive electrification plans. I was on our thing this morning and I forgot to comment on it, but I'd be curious going forward to see if we have enough energy there to meet all their needs. So,
yeah, and we are partnering with them in that regard.
I see. Yeah.
Now, the one time that I was with the mayor and we went up to Marysville, I was really quite impressed with all the new directions that they're taking. It was great. I believe you went to a chamber meeting on the 14th.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about the port of Everett.
Right.
Is what I'm talking about. Right. Yeah.
But you also attended
the
chamber meeting, which was
Arlington.
And I attended the day after that, November 15th, the Linwood Chamber of Commerce. And I think that's all I have to report. So we'll move on to the Commissioner event calendar. Commissioner Olson, do you have any changes tonight?
I do not.
Commissioner Logan, any changes?
I do I just lost my spot, so let me go find it again.
We're having tech challenges.
We're all having tech challenges.
Yeah.
No, I see we're having COCO with commissioners next month.
December 8th, so excited about that.
Yeah, I don't have any changes.
We love our COCO. All right, on December 8th, then, we want to invite the community to come in, and that's, what do we call it, our?
Holiday bazaar.
Holiday bazaar, yes. Okay, so I have no changes. Governance planning, calendar, Commissioner Olson, do you have any changes to the 99? Neither do I. All right, it is now 2:30, and the board will recess into executive session to discuss computer and telecommunications security and risk assessments under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meetings Act. It is anticipated that the executive session will last approximately 90 minutes and will conclude at 3:30. 3:30? 3:30, right? That would be 3:30.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
I beg your pardon.
Can we give ourselves a 5-minute buffer?
Of course, of course. So we will end our meeting at 4 o'clock. The regular meeting will adjourn at the conclusion of the executive session, which we anticipate will be 4 o'clock. Okay? All right. So we are recessed.